Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. Today, we are finally going to do it. We are going to put investing under the microscope. I know what you're thinking, dear listener. What on earth are you talking about, Tom? Well, and I've just realized that the title of the episode totally gives away any mystery here, but we are taking a closer look at the world of micro-investing. What is it? How is it different from other forms of investing? What are the benefits? What are the limitations? We will be discussing those questions and many more. And I'm very pleased to say that I will not be alone in tackling those today, because we are joined by investments analyst at Finder, Kylie Purcell. Kylie, a very warm welcome to you. Thank you so much for joining us on Friends with Money.
Hi, Tom. Thanks so much for having me. It's good to be here.
So excited to get into this topic. So let's get things started, Kylie. Can you, I guess, to kick us off, give us a brief overview of what micro-investing actually means, and importantly here, how it differs from traditional investing methods that I'm sure a lot of our listeners may be a little bit more familiar with?
Yeah, sure thing. So broadly speaking, micro-investing is when you invest really small amounts into the stock market. I'm talking amounts like a few cents or a few dollars, and that's usually on a regular basis. So small amounts over time, maybe every week, every month, even every day. So it's a strategy essentially where you're dollar cost averaging into the market rather than, in the traditional sense, with traditional investing, you'd invest a really big lump sum all at once. So instead of that, you're investing small amounts more frequently.
Yeah, so it might be good for people with, you know, relatively small amounts of money at their disposal to invest rather than, you know, thousands of dollars at a time.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, if you don't have a lot of money, or even if you don't have a lot of knowledge, it's just a lot less intimidating to invest those small amounts, maybe amounts that you wouldn't even notice are missing, into the stock market just to get your foot in the door and really get started.
I like it, testing the waters a little bit. So Kylie, what are the major platforms that, you know, come to mind when we're talking about micro investing in Australia? You know, who are the big fish in the micro investing pond, so to speak?
Yeah, so when you're talking about micro investment platforms, the two big players that most people would think of immediately would be Rays and Spaceship. They've probably been around for the longest time in Australia. And then we've got kind of newer players that have come along, like CommSec Pocket, which is not really a traditional micro-investment platform in that you've got a $50 minimum, so that's not super small. But we still kind of throw CommSec Pocket in there just because it's a smaller amount than you'd traditionally invest. And now we're also seeing players like share trading platforms that are adding micro-investment features into the mix. So that would be like Perla, Sharesies, and we've got Syfe as well, who won Finder's Best Micro-Investment Platform Award more recently. There'd be at least, I could keep naming them, but there'd be at least 15 or so micro-investment platforms out there these days. So yeah.
Okay, so it's quite a developed market then. I got to say, I do remember when Acorns, now Raise, first launched, and that came with a fair bit of fanfare. So I'm sure people might be, as you said, familiar with them, either their form name or their current name.
Yeah,
Kylie,
absolutely.
This will obviously, you know, differ from platform to platform, but what kind of assets can investors actually get exposure to through these micro investment apps and platforms?
Yeah, anything and everything these days. Anything and everything. Any of the major asset classes are pretty much covered by micro investment platforms. So typically, like with Raise and Spaceship, the original micro-investment platforms, you're investing into a portfolio of stocks. That's the most common, or a portfolio of ETFs, which are made up of stocks. But we've also now got property, like Raise Invest now has a property fund. You can invest in cryptocurrency even through Raise. There are gold platforms now, and even bond platforms like Blossom. I think you've spoken about Blossom before. So anything and everything, although traditionally and most of the time, you're going to be micro-investing into a diversified portfolio of stocks and often even a portfolio of ETFs, like what Raise offers, for instance.
So basically anything that you might like the sound of in traditional investing, but in a micro version.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you've got everything covered these days.
I think you've given us like a great kind of, you know, set of foundations here, Kylie, but it'd be great to dig into, I guess, some of the pros and cons associated with micro-investing now. So to start off with the former, what are some of the potential benefits for someone who might like the idea of micro-investing?
Yeah, we touched on it a bit before, but it's really great for those just getting started in the investing world. You know, you don't have to be rich. You don't have to be knowledgeable. These platforms make it really easy to get your foot in the door. They do the heavy lifting for you. They typically provide you with a portfolio of stocks that's professionally managed. So you don't even have to know which stocks to pick. And it's also a set and forget strategy. So, you know, without even noticing your spare change going missing, you could be investing that into a pretty substantial portfolio over the next couple of decades. So I've even got a little example here that I'll share.
Please.
Like, let's say you were to give up your daily coffee, and I know how horrible that sounds, but say you give up having a daily coffee out at a coffee shop, that's $4.50. Well, modestly speaking, by Sydney standards.
I was going to say, golly, geez, yeah.
Very modest, yeah. But let's just say it's $4.50. If you instead cut out that coffee and you invested that into an ETF every day and say, historically, the stock market has returned about 10% per annum. That's historically speaking. And let's say it continues to do that over the next 20 years. You'd have invested over $86,000 into your stock portfolio, $56,000 of which is your investment returns. So if you just saved that cash, that $4.50, and put it under your bed in a box, you would have saved, you know, $30,000 in cash. But just by having invested that money and not put it into a cash account and not put it under your bed in a box, you've earned an extra $56,000. And
That's
probably without even noticing, depending on how much you miss that coffee. But it's like these tiny amounts that you would probably not even notice have gone missing can build you up a really significant portfolio. And that's really, I'd say that's the biggest benefit to these micro-investing platforms, the biggest bit of magic there of compound interest.
As someone who's very much addicted to his daily takeaway coffee, I'm not sure if I'd give that up. But then when you put it in those terms, I mean, that's a big amount of money over the years. So maybe I would start to rethink it at that point.
Yeah. It's definitely a big sacrifice to make, but the rewards are huge.
Kylie, let's get into the flip side of the coin then. What about any downsides to micro-investing?
Yeah, so what I didn't touch on before was, and in that example that I shared, was the fees.
Mm.
Those returns that I mentioned don't include fees. And that is absolutely the biggest downside to these micro-investment platforms. Because you're investing smaller amounts, the fee-to-investment ratio is usually much higher than if you're investing larger amounts, like the traditional method of investing. And with these micro-investing apps, there also does tend to be these ongoing fees. So for instance, Raise charges $4.50 a month. So let's say you were just using their roundup feature. They have a spare change roundup feature, which I love. But if you were just using that feature, you'd be investing, say, maybe $20 a month into the stock market, into your portfolio. Then your $4.50 fee per month is going to be like 25% of your investment, almost. Yeah, which is huge. And of course, the more that you build up your portfolio, the smaller that fee is going to get as a ratio to your investment. But starting off, it's a massive, massive fee. And if you were to compare that to, say, investing into an ETF just through a regular share trading platform, like, say, instead of investing into a micro-investment platform, you were to invest $2,000 into an ETF through, say, Tiger Brokers. With them, a $3 brokerage fee, a one-off $3 brokerage fee, and no ongoing fees. Whereas if you'd split that $2,000 up into small increments, as you would with, say, Raise, you'd end up paying $54 a year in fees, which is obviously a lot higher than paying, say, $3 for that larger sum as just a regular brokerage fee. So that's definitely one thing to think about. And because, of course, you're not just paying extra fees, that's also taking from what you could be investing into the stock market, which would also be a compounding factor. The other side of it is also when you're investing through these platforms, you're using the dollar cost averaging strategy. But there have been some studies that show that the dollar cost averaging strategy actually returns a bit less over the long run than just investing larger amounts less frequently. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. There have been a few studies that have done. I've seen Morningstar have covered it, for instance. The idea behind dollar cost averaging is that by investing more frequently at regular intervals, you're balancing out any volatility in the market. So, for instance, if you were to invest in Tesla stock and you wanted to invest, say, $5,000, you might invest and then the next day the Tesla stock price crashes. I'm just bringing up Tesla because that's just all anyone's talking about at the
moment.
Very
relevant. Yep.
Yeah. And then the price crashes, which happens all the time. You'd obviously lose quite a lot of money in the short term. Whereas if you were to balance out the amounts that you're investing, so you split that $5,000 up into smaller amounts over the year, the idea is that you'd probably average out that initial loss because you're sometimes investing just before the price goes up. So that's kind of the theory behind it. But what these studies are showing is that it actually pays just to have more in the market earlier, regardless of at what point in the cycle you're investing. So even if you're just investing just before a crash, just due to the compounding nature of having money in earlier rather than splitting it out into smaller amounts. That being said, you know, the difference is going to depend on one scenario to another. And, you know, I don't think the difference is going to be huge. I still like to dollar cost average. I do both. But it's, in my mind, really useful just to have a small amount going in frequently into my portfolio. So yeah, I still rate it. But it is an interesting point to think about.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm quite surprised by that, but I'm interested to bring it up, and obviously so relevant, as you said, to micro-investing platforms, which, you know, kind of rely on that fundamentally.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Kylie, bit of a broader question to finish on. What kind of impact do you think these platforms have had, and I guess are having, on the wider investing landscape? Or I guess, you know, frame it a different way. Do you think that they have helped people who wouldn't have traditionally been able to invest to actually get into the market?
Yeah, absolutely. I think these platforms have been a game changer. Like, I remember when I was a kid, or even, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, it used to be really expensive to invest in the stock market. Like, it was like $500 minimum to invest into one company, any one company on the ASX. And you might be doing that through CommSec. That was the big player back in the day and still is, but there weren't that many other options. And if you wanted to build up, say, a diversified portfolio of a modest number of stocks, say 10 stocks, you know, that's $5,000 just to kind of get your foot in the door and not to take on too much risk. And that was such a huge amount to have to think about when, say, you don't really even understand how the stock market works. You're not sure which companies to pick, and you don't have a lot of money, not even just for kids just getting started, teenagers just getting started, but even for families that don't have a lot of spare change. You know, they've got to pay the bills. This has all changed really in the last few years because of these micro investment platforms, in my view. It basically means that anybody can get involved with any tiny amount. I'm talking a few cents. And it's not just about getting your foot in the door to get started to build up for your future. It's also just about educating yourself and understanding how the stock market works, understanding how compound interest works. Because even if you're not actively investing in the stock market, you've still got your superannuation portfolio. So it really helps just to understand where your money is going and why it's so important and why it might be important to add more, even just to your super account. So yeah, I think they've had a really substantial impact on the investment landscape, and a really, really positive one.
I love that that education piece at the end that you mentioned there, Kylie. I think that's so important, so useful for so many people as well, beyond the returns themselves. So Anyway, Carly, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. And thank you so much for running us through all things micro-investing. And as I said, we'll have to get you back on to give us part two at some point in the future.
I'd love that. Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends with Money will be right back in your podcast feeds next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.